Our presentation this morning is Engaging Our Theological Diversity by Prairie member Evelyn Hikus. Evelyn is a psychotherapist and a UU lay minister who has devoted her life to the quest for truth and an understanding of life's deep mysteries. Welcome, Evelyn.
Years ago, when I began giving talks at UU services, it was in response to what I perceived as a growing need within the Unitarian Universalist community movement to pursue an inquiry into more spiritual issues. My husband and I had joined our first UU congregation 10 years earlier to provide a religious community for our daughter. Over time, I became a more active member, joining committees and serving on boards. But while my own commitment grew, I noticed a pattern of others coming and going when they failed to find the spiritual content they hoped to find in our religious faith. As I learned more about our history, I saw that as Unitarian Universalists moved away from their Christian theological roots, they also left behind discussion of some important theological issues. As we fulfilled our commitment to embracing diversity, welcoming Buddhists, Muslims, Jews, pagans, and atheists, basically anyone who abided by the principles we shared, we stopped talking about things like God, worship, and the soul, perhaps afraid that our differences of opinion might divide us. Our services and discussion groups began to emphasize what could be known and expressed through reason and the intellect, focusing on UU history and social justice, worthy topics, yet leaving many feeling incomplete. I heard concern about something missing from our faith, repeated to me by UUs in churches I visited across our country and even overseas. This unfulfilled thirst for religious inquiry seemed to be a pattern. But while this need was apparent everywhere I went, the response to it was less obvious. Ministers and lay leaders in our congregation seemed unwilling or unsure of how to go about addressing their congregants' deep personal theological experiences and beliefs. So I was delighted to discover a book published in May of 2005 by the Commission on Appraisal of the Unitarian Universalist Association. The book, entitled Engaging Our Theological Diversity, indicates that those of us desiring to embrace theological concerns within the UU community are not alone. In fact, we are a majority. The Commission of Appraisal was created with the formation of the UUA in 1961. Its mission statement reads, "Grounded in the living tradition of our free faith, yet charged with acting independently, the Commission on Appraisal's mission is to provoke deep reflection, energizing and revitalizing Unitarian Universalism." It was the Commission on Appraisal which in 2009 first proposed that we reflect upon revising Article 2, one of the bylaws of the UUA which codified our seven principles. Engaging Our Theological Diversity was the 11th book published by the Commission and was the culmination of 4 years of labor. Its findings were the result of interviews, hearings, focus groups, and surveys participated in by hundreds of UU congregation members, ministers, theological school faculty members, researchers, and UUA staff. Listen to the common thread. "I wish there were more conversations about theology and belief because I've personally been really struggling with it." And to me, this is where the UUA falls down. We offer the hope of a spiritual journey, and we offer no tools to do it with. We stay in the head, and we don't talk to the heart. The commission's conclusion suggested that addressing our theological diversity might even be necessary for our survival as an association of congregations. In the commission's conversations with UUs concerning theology, they found that, with rare exceptions, conversations about belief and theology are not regular features of our congregational life, and that this taboo seems to be based on a fear that if we start to talk about our beliefs, we may discover we are totally incompatible with one another, and our congregations will fall apart. The theological differences among us, while addressed at a superficial level, are not discussed and examined with openness, care, and intentionality in broad UU circles. However, the generations coming to maturity today are showing a renewed interest in spirituality, and if we can gain their attention, the commission concludes, we might become a prominent religious movement. One of the stated goals of the report was to promote the idea that our diversity rests upon common ground, the principles and values we share. They wanted to give people permission to talk about their beliefs without fear of harming their congregations. They maintain that a diverse community can discuss theological beliefs with each other without having to adopt a primary theological doctrine. According to a report published by the UUA in 1963, entitled The Free Church in a Changing World, a liberal religious perspective is characterized by openness to different theological emphases, which flourish in dialogue with one another. In most churches, theological quandary is personal rather than institutional. At the heart of our church lies the principle that theological questions shall be kept open. Nonetheless, we do seem to agree on some general theological affirmations. These include the humanity of Jesus, congregational polity or independent self-governance, and the human origins of the Bible. In addition, our faith emphasizes acceptance of one another and a non-judgmental approach to differences between people, minimizing the relevance of forgiveness. This is a markedly different value system than that promulgated by religious traditions, which make rigid distinctions between right and wrong, promise punishment for unrepentant sinners, and rely on God or priests for absolution. So one of the commission's goals was to launch a conversation that allows for the fact that Unitarian Universalism has a theology, an idea frequently de-emphasized in favor of ethics. What are some of the other questions asked by theologians? One is regarding the nature of the cosmos, how we understand the physical world and our place in it. According to the commission, the principle which most clearly expressed UU cosmology was that which referred to the interdependent web of existence of which we are all a part. The current UU understanding of an interdependent and interconnected cosmos evolved from a theology we can trace back to our Christian roots, to the biblical book of Genesis. Common interpretations of Genesis hold that human beings are the pinnacle of all creation, that we are God's favored creatures, and that everything in creation exists for our explicit benefit. More liberal interpretations hold that human beings are the custodians of creation, but both create a human-centered cosmology. But scientific discoveries made by Isaac Newton and Charles Darwin, among others, began to make it clear that human beings were merely a part of creation rather than its centerpiece. Unitarians, as the most radical and free-thinking branch of the Protestant Reformation, embraced this view of existence. While this cosmology is shared by many Eastern, Earth-centered, and Native American traditions, it does differentiate us from other Judeo-Christian faiths. A second question addressed by theologians is the source of religious authority. UUs distinguish themselves from other religious groups in terms of where they find it. Over 500 years ago, our forebears challenged the authority of religious institution. Today, scriptures are seen more often as inspirational than authoritative. Instead, our primary religious authority is our own experience. UU historian David Park affirms that our personal truths begin and end in direct experience. While we value the insights of others, we give priority to that which we ourselves have encountered. We appreciate the testimony of others, but engage with the world to discover truth, placing little emphasis on ancient scriptures or borrowed authority. However, trust in our personal experience is not held in a vacuum. Many UUs choose to deepen their understanding by sharing their stories and engaging in dialogue within their communities. One reason we participate in covenant groups, called journey groups here at Prairie, is the appreciation of the power of dialogue as a spiritual practice and a recognition of the wisdom to be garnered during a respectful exchange of experiences and ideas. However, while most respondents to theology surveys distributed by the Commission on Appraisal rated direct experience of mystery to be very important, a solid 90% stated that they were committed to the use of reason to interpret our experience and form and test our religious convictions. Valuing both spiritual experience and reason as significant sources of religious authority may be unique among world religions. That being the case, what do you use say about God, who by most faiths is the ultimate religious authority? Among the nearly 800 UUs who provided the commission with a statement about what was at the core of their personal faith, 30% named a transcendent dimension, whether or not they called it God. One wrote, "At the center is and always has been a rooted personal and living sense of connection to Source, the Eternal, what as a child I was taught to name God." And, "I believe in God, but not in the traditional sense. For me, God is the organizing force of the universe, the rays of sun that shine through breaking clouds on the horizon, and most importantly, that which gives existence to all kinds of love between human beings." Other participants, rather than using the word God, seemed to find greater resonance with the word spirituality, a word Minister Nancy Arnold calls that elusive term that almost defies definition. She says, "Spirituality points beyond the ordinary, beyond the narrow confines of the self, beyond expectation. Because the spiritual is beyond our control, it is never exactly what we expect." In addition, 58% of lay respondents and 81% of clergy reported having had mystical, spiritual experiences, a profound sense of oneness with all that is, or a sense of something uniting all things. Minister Lex Crane argues for rational mysticism at the core of UU religion. The rational perspective divides reality into discrete parts and gives a name to each part so that it can be held in the mind and expressed in speech. The mystical worldview does the reverse. It sets aside all words, concepts, or divisions and perceives the world as one unified whole, radiant with meaning, and oneself set down in it, an integral part of it all. If we learn to perceive the world now through mystical eyes, and then at other times from a rational perspective, we begin to approach seeing the whole. We get closer to reality, to God. A third question addressed by theologians asks about the nature of the human being regarding good and evil. According to the commission, among the statements considered most important by all groups surveyed was this one: humans are born with the potential to be good. We are committed to nurturing good through love and learning. Present-day UUs disagree with those who view evil or sinfulness as an inherent state of being. We are far more likely to characterize people's actions or inactions as good or bad, emphasizing personal choice. Although dismayed by many events in human history, we still tend to believe that human commitment and energy can change many of the wrongs of the world. We believe our salvation, if it is to be had, lies largely in the hands of individuals and strengthening the individual's potential to be a positive force in the world. That being the case, what is the nature of our religious community? While there are many kinds of events and activities in most UU congregations, the primary venue through which we meet is the Sunday service. Our history and tradition have called the purpose of this coming together worship. However, since few UUs seek or attempt to use Sunday services to praise or make requests to God, what are we doing here? Interviews with members of congregations I have visited confirm the Commission's finding that few who attend our services find religious inspiration or experience there. What I find illuminating is the Commission's explanation of this. They maintain that our lack of inspiration is due to our having become accustomed to an entertainment model of worship. That is, the perception that what we receive from a service has to do with what is presented to us. They suggest that it is not enough to want readings or sermons to inspire us. We have to be willing to be inspired. That doesn't require a particular theology or theistic thinking, but rather openness to experience. The Commission's report suggests that we are transformed by offering something of ourselves rather than by what we expect to receive. Worship invites us to deepen our relationship with the miracle of life. Services offer us the opportunity to live and celebrate our principles and values and to strengthen our spirits so that we may fulfill our mission in the world, encouraging personal transformation and helping others. Many UUs report that cultivating religious feeling and spiritual experience reinvigorates their commitment to justice making and community service. Next, many respondents to the Commission survey supported the general observation that there has been a shift in Unitarian Universalism away from a humanist center to a more eclectic mix of philosophies or theologies. So it is not surprising that at least some of the many UUs who identify themselves theologically as humanists feel particularly embattled. However, since the humanist ability to knit together disparate elements of life without relying on supernatural explanations is such an important part of our intellectual heritage, the Commission warns that it would be a serious mistake to allow humanist philosophy to be marginalized. Concurrently, the report encourages humanists to consider that not all references to what might appear to be religious belief signify the relinquishment of reason as a powerful element in UU's spiritual lives. Another subject on which the Commission spent considerable time was our relationship to Christianity. Though there are many UU Christians, they, like the humanists, have become a minority within the denomination. Often, they too feel marginalized. While the Commission does not suggest that Unitarian Universalism should become a Christian denomination again, it does strongly recommend that individual UUs make peace with their religious roots, and that as an institution, Unitarian Universalism make peace with its Christian heritage. Since many UUs come to our faith because of having been wounded in the faiths of their upbringing, reactivity to those faiths is common. But failure to grow beyond those early experiences, the Commission warns, can limit our access to the wisdom of our Judeo-Christian heritage. In conclusion, the Commission recommends that individual UUs and congregations acknowledge and engage in their theological diversity rather than avoiding it. A growing emphasis on right relations in congregations and a strong sense of mission and inclusiveness encourages us to accept our different perspectives. Not only can conversation promote tolerance and understanding, but our differences may be seen as the very thing which generates interest and stimulates personal growth among us. The Commission recommends that open sharing about theology happen intentionally through adult religious education programs, small group ministry, and other congregational events. They hoped their report would be the beginning of that process among congregations nationwide. Dialogue may help us move beyond our fear of theological diversity to understanding and learning from each other. Since joining Prairie 3 years ago, I have met members who identify as Christian, Buddhist, pagan, Muslim, Jewish, atheist, and agnostic. Sharing stories about our personal religious journeys, rituals, prayers, or meditations, and what they mean to us, without giving or taking offense, furthers our commitment toward peace and justice in the world, beginning with ourselves.